Days to be found in the 17th and the 18th and the 19th and the 24th chapter of the second book of Samuel. Now, we left off speaking to you last Sunday about David, how that he spake unto the generals who he had appointed over his army that they should deal gently with his son Absalom. Now, we find that Absalom, he had an army, and he had taken the advice of Hushai, the counselor that David had sent back to counsel for him against Ahithophel. And when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not accepted, but was rejected, we read that he went back to his city, and he set his house in order, and he went and he hung himself. This wise man, Ahithophel, he then committed self-murder, suicide. How often it takes place in life, my hearers, as it did with Ahithophel. Ahithophel was a proud man. And when he gave counsel, it says it was as if it was the oracles of God. And now when they didn't accept his counsel, then he was so discontented and so mortified by this that he could not and would not want to live any longer. In the first place, probably, he saw that Absalom was going to be defeated. And realizing this, he thought, if David comes back, then likewise he as a traitor would lose his life. And this man, he went and committed this dreadful sin, self-murder. This sin, my hearers, has no forgiveness attached to it. When a person commits this sin, he dies in the act of this sin, and he has no time to repent for this sin. So we cannot have any hope for any person that takes his own life and dies in the act of it. This sin happens so many times through discontentment. Some people, they obtain a fortune in this life, in and through somebody leaving it to them by a will or bequeathing it to them. And often we see people running through this fortune in a short space of time, and they become poor. Poverty comes to the door. And rather than continue on in poverty, they take their life. How many men gamble and deal in various things in this world, even in stocks? And how often people build a nest egg and a fortune in stocks, and they hold on to them, and suddenly the price of the stocks goes down, and they become poor likewise. And rather than face the issue, we find so many wealthy men even taking their lives, taking the easiest way out, they think. But oh, what a dreadful eternity awaits those who commit this sin. What an awful thing, my hearers. May God keep you and I from committing this sin, for we are not any better than these individuals that have done this before us. Every sin. Contentment, we may even do like Ahithophel. And now we find that David charged these men that they should deal gently with Absalom his son. And they go forth to war. Absalom, he sets a captain over his army by the name of Amasa. This man was born of a sister of Joab's mother. He had to say uncle unto Joab. And this man, Amasa, he was a great warrior and was well liked by the people. He then was at the head of the army of the Israelites, and Joab was set with Abishai and with Ittai over the army that David sent out to fight against the army of his son. And we find them fighting in a wooden section of the certain land called the Wood of Ephraim. And there was a great slaughter, for 20,000 men of Israel fell in one day before David's men. And the wood devoured more soldiers than the sword did that day. According to the commentary, there was nothing but bogs and holes and pitfalls in this wooded section, and therefore so many men lost their lives in these holes and in these bogs. And now we find that Absalom, who went to war with his men, he was riding on a mule. And as he was riding on this mule, he met the men of David's army. And going through a wooden section, and we find that his head got caught in the boughs of a great oak, and the mule that was under him kept going and left him hanging in this oak. This handsome young man, this traitor, this son of David, who was so disobedient to his father, was caught between the boughs of a great oak and was left hanging there. There were none of his soldiers around him to help him down. All had fled away. But one of the soldiers of David's army seen him hanging in this oak. And he went back to Joab, and he told Joab that he had seen Absalom hanging from a tree, and his neck was caught in the boughs thereof. And the commentary says maybe his hair had something to do with it, although the Bible says that his head got caught. And now we find that this man went back to Joab, and Joab says to this man, "Oh, why didn't you kill him? Why didn't you dispatch him?" "Why," he said, "I was there when David counseled you and the other generals that they should not touch Absalom. And if I had touched him, why then you would be against me." He said, "I would have given you 10 shekels of silver and a garment," he says, "and you would have become a captain in this army if you had done that." But this young man, he did not do what Joab had wished he had done. And when Joab got finished speaking to this young man, he had to justify this young man because he had done that which was right. And then Joab, he took 3 darts into his hand, and he went to Absalom, who was hanging in the oak, and he put 3 darts into the heart of Absalom while he was alive in the oak tree. And Joab's men, who come past him round about his guard, they took him down from this oak and they slew him. This then was the end of this son, Absalom, this disobedient son. This son who was so loved by his father, but who rebelled against his father and wanted to become king in the place of his father. And we see that when he hung between heaven and earth, it shows us that heaven did not want him, and neither did the earth. It teaches us likewise that a disobedience is something that God usually punishes in this life. This man, Absalom, he is a type of each and every one of us. In Adam, we became disobedient unto God. wanted to become God ourselves. Now, this is in the bottom of every one of our hearts by nature. And where disobedience has spread over the universe, and where we likewise have become disobedient, that we deserve the same fate that Absalom had. How righteous it would be if God did smite each and every one of us for being disobedient. But now this son, he was made an example of by God. God's justice overtook him. God's anger came down upon him, and he died by the hand of Joab. And hell itself opened its mouth to receive him. Oh, if I have any young people amongst my hearers, I would entreat you in the name of God to live obediently unto your parents. See in this young man, Absalom, what disobedience brought upon him, how that he went on in his sins, and how that God visited him and took his life away. Now, the Bible teaches us, honor thy father and thy mother, which is a commandment with a promise that it may go well with thee. Oh, when we dishonor our father and our mother, then we have God against us. And usually dishonoring our father and our mother, we dishonor God our Creator likewise. And oh, to have God as our enemy is an awful thing. For this young man then perished in his sins. What an awful thing, my hearers, to die in your iniquity and to be lost forever. Joab, he held the people back after he had smitten Absalom from fighting anymore. The people were restrained then. Joab considered that the people would return back to David and have him to be their king again. And they buried Absalom in this wooded section. They dug a deep pit and threw him in it and filled the hole with stones and rubbish. This was the end of this young man. Oh, what an awful end, my hearers. What a funeral, what a burial was given to this man. Oh, we find that David, he is back in this city awaiting word of what was taking place where the battle was going on. And now Joab, he sends one man to run back to the city to tell David what had taken place. We find that Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, he desired to run to bring tidings to the king. And Joab said, no, ye shall not run today, for ye have no tidings to bring, for the king's son is dead. Therefore he sent a man by the name of Cushai. This man was an Ethiopian. He was a colored man. And he sent him to run back to tell David what had taken place. But Ahimaaz, he again insisted that he be given permission to run. And Joab consented, and he overran Cushai over the plain, and he came first towards the city of Mahanaim. And the watchman was on the wall, and he seen a man running in the distance and told the king, there comes a man running. And when he drew near, this man that was on the wall, he noticed who he was. He said to David, it is Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok. Well, David says, he comes with good tidings. And when he came, he fell down on his face before the king. And the king said unto him, is it well? Yes, he says, the Lord our God has delivered the king and all his servants from the enemy that rose up against him. And David said, and how is it with Absalom, my son? He says, there was a great tumult, but I did not see what took place. This man, Ahimaaz, he prepared David in a way for the message that the next man was bringing. For he put him to one side and waited for this other man that they seen coming in the distance. And when he drew near, he likewise fell down before the king and said unto the king, thanks be to the Lord who hath delivered the king and all his family and his servants from those that have rose up against him. And he says unto him, and how is it with my son Absalom? And this man says, let all the enemies of my king and of the Lord be like this young man. This was heavy tidings to David, for this was as he was saying, thy son is dead. Now these two young men that were running and that were bringing tidings, they teach us a lesson. Often, my hearers, you have heard tidings. Sometimes they were good. Sometimes they brought you to the position that David was brought to. How often it has been amongst you, my hearers, that you have had a son, a daughter, a husband, or a wife that was deathly sick. And you feared the worst. Your heart was heavy. But you got tidings that gave you a little hope, a little encouragement. And then you received tidings which discouraged you very greatly. And then you received tidings that you feared. Your partner, your child, passed away. Oh, what a blow this is, my hearers. All flesh will not leave go of flesh. It cuts very deep when God brings us these kind of tidings. These men, they resemble likewise the ministers of the gospel. The one brought tidings to David to prepare him for the message that his son was dead. God sends his servants, my hearers, to preach unto us the gospel, but first they bring unto us his holy law. And this law, when God applies by the inspiration of the Spirit, cuts very deep. It wounds. It makes a person feel and realize that he has sinned against God. All this tiding is very sharp sometimes. For the arrows of the Almighty, they sink very deeply into the souls of those whom he loves with an everlasting love. These tidings prepare us for the good tidings of the gospel. They prepare us for that glorious message that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Oh, what a mercy, my hearers, that these tidings are still being brought unto you. How long have you heard these tidings? Have these tidings ever been brought home to your heart? Have they ever brought home to you your guilt, your sin? Have they ever brought you on your knees confessing that you were the greatest, the chiefest of sinners? Have they brought you to the feet of Christ? Oh, what a mercy, my hearers, when these tidings are used in this way by the Spirit of God to bring us to the feet of Jesus. Oh, I wish and I pray that the tidings that we bring every Lord's Day may have such an effect upon you, my hearers, that every one of you were brought to true confession of sin and brought to see something of the beauty and of the excellency of Jesus Christ, that precious Savior. And now when David received these tidings, they were heavy tidings, we find him crying out, "O Absalom, my son, Absalom, my son, would that I had died in the place of you." David was greatly grieved and greatly brought down into mourning and sorrow and into the loss of this son who he loved so much. He loved one that rose up against him. He loved someone that he should have never had any love to, you would say. And still, my hearers, if you are a father or a mother, and you have a child that has been like Absalom, disobedient, and has rose up against you, there is still that parental love in your heart towards your child, even if the child has gone away in anger and refuses even to acknowledge thee as their parents, still you long and love this child just like David did. And sure enough, if ever you should receive tidings as David did, and I hope you never do, and then you likewise will mourn like David did. Or he lost a son, his own flesh and blood, and that cut deep, my hearers. And therefore we find him praying and crying out in this way, "O Absalom, my son, Absalom, my son." My hearers, David, he was grieved too much, greatly grieved. He was over-grieved. He should have never keyed into this position that he did. For we find that was all that he thought about. He only thought about his son. He never thought about the army that had gained the victory. He never thought about that great God who is a just God, who is a righteous God, and who visits sin and iniquity, even if he visits our own flesh. Oh, David could not justify God in this, my hearers. And David, he was king. And where his army had won the victory, he should have been happy and elated that he had been spared, that he and his family had not been destroyed by Absalom's army. For that would have been the issue. Had Absalom gained a victory, then David would have been killed, and likewise his family. And now he's so overgrieved, the only thing he thinks about is Absalom. And now we find him crying and going up the stairs of his palace in this way. And now in the next chapter we read that Joab, he went in to speak unto the king. And Joab, he used harsh and rough language to David, but he spake unto him the truth. He went into him and said, "I see," says, "that if we, thy servants, and all thy people had been slain, and your enemies had triumphed, and Absalom had lived, that you would be happy, that you would be glad. I tell you," he says, "that if you don't go out to the gate and sit in the gate, then by nightfall you won't have one person that will abide under you anymore. And it will be worse for you than all the evil that has come upon you from your youth." This was necessary for David to bring him out of this over grief that he was indulging himself in. It was a criminal grief in this respect. Truly, my hearers, we can forgive any person that sustains a loss in this life of any member of their family, that they grieve and are sorrowful. But to be overgrieved, as David was entirely wrong. Now we find Jacob, when the message came to him that Joseph had probably been killed by a wild beast, then he says that he would go down to the grave grieving for his son Joseph. This is what David was in at this present time. There may be some amongst my hearers who likewise have had such a loss in your family, or maybe one of your partners in life have been taken away, and the sorrow and the grief that you experienced was so excessive that no one could console you, that no one could talk to you even at that time, as it was with David. And it was necessary that God send someone to you to bring you out of it and to brace you up under it. This is what David received when Joab went into him. And it may be that you likewise have had someone come to you and speak to you. And these words were words which were encouraging unto you and brought you out of this excessive sorrow that you were in. And now Joab, he brought the king out to the gate, and the people all came again to David as he sat in the gate. And now we find that all the people were in strife in Israel about who was to be the king. And there were thousands of them that had followed Absalom. They had been traitorous to David. There were others that abode with David. But now that Absalom had been slain in battle, and he had been anointed by many of them to be their king, and now they were at strife. What was the strife? Well, should they ask King David to come back and be their king again? Would he accept them, or would he reject them? They had made it that he should reject them. There was then a strife going on amongst the people. And David, he heard about this strife, and he sent the two priests, Zadok and Abiathar, to the people with the message that, why did they not send for him to come back to be their king? Was he not flesh and bone of them? And he said that he would make Amasa, the general of the army that Absalom had, the general in the place of Joab. And when he spake in this way, he bowed the hearts of all the men of Judah, so that they sent this word to the king, come back, thee and thy family. My hearers, this has likewise a spiritual meaning. There may be some amongst my hearers, probably very few, that will understand me in this, but there was a time in your life when the Lord came into your heart, when he overpowered you with his love and with his grace, and you were given to bow before him, and you were given to beseech him to be king over you. Oh, you loved him. You wanted to serve him. He should be your king. He should rule over you and guide you. And oh, it was such a blessed time. But there came another time in your life. And that sin rose up in you. And it appeared to get dominion over you. The world and all its pleasures became attractive again. And you found yourself being tempted by this and by that, and you're giving way to temptation. And you forsake the Lord. You forsake this king who you thought you would serve to the day that you died. And my hearers, this isn't a pleasant experience. Oh, to backslide from the Lord, to forsake your first love and to find yourself enjoying yourself in those things that were so sinful and so evil when God opened your eyes to them. But this happens, my hearers. And then there comes a strife. What is that strife? Oh, you want to go back to that king. But you say, will he accept me? Will he receive me? Or you fear inside. Because of your sins, he'll never have anything to do with you. And now God does like David did. He sent these priests to these people, and God sends his ministers to his people, and they come and speak the message of the gospel, and they entreat these sinners to return unto their king, unto Jesus. And all these messages, they are so wonderful to such a backsliding sinner. Oh, it's as if it's the word of God itself to such a person. And that person hears as he never heard before. And this king is willing to be their king. Even if ye have sinned, even if ye have backslidden, even if ye have played the harlot with many lovers, return unto me, he says. And oh, when this comes home, my hearers, oh, the wonderful love of this king, that no matter how far you may have gone away from him, he still loves you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And you begin to entreat this king to come back into your heart, to be king again over you. Oh, I wonder if there are any amongst me that have experienced something like this. Oh, what a blessing it is in this life to learn to know that we have to do with a faithful God, a good God, a merciful God, who forgiveth iniquity and passeth by the transgressions of his dear children. And now we find that these people, they sent for this king to come back. And David now, he is going to return back to the city of Jerusalem. Oh, what a wonder it was for David. It was because of his sin that he had to flee. It was because of his sin that Absalom was killed and taken away. He was the cause thereof, he felt in his own soul. For had he not sinned in committing adultery and murder, then these things would never have come down upon his house, for the sword would not depart from his house, God had said. And now David, he's on his way back. Oh, I believe he was in such a humble frame of soul. And when he started to come back, my hearers, then we find the people of Judah, they went down to the river Jordan, and they got a ferry boat, and they carried all his household and all his goods over the river. And we find that this man, Shimei, who had cursed David so exceedingly, he came down with 1,000 men of Benjamin behind him to meet the king. And Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, who had slandered Mephibosheth unto the David the king, he likewise with his servants came down to convey the king back to the city of Jerusalem. And now we find this man Shimei, who had cursed David so exceedingly with a bitter curse, we find him falling down before David and confessing that he had sinned very greatly in doing what he had done. But he entreated David that David would forgive him his sin. All this man felt that he had done wrong in the eyes of the public and also against David. Whether he had felt that he'd done wrong in the sight of God is another thing, my hearers. Oh, how many people will admit their guilt and admit their sin when they fear that punishment is going to come down upon them and it may mean their life. Then criminals even will confess their sins to be spared so that they will not die. So it was with this Shimei. And we find David in a humble frame. Why? Because God had forgiven David. And if God forgives you, my hearers, then you are ready to forgive the greatest sinner on earth that done something against you. And David, he promised this man that he would not die. Abishai, the son of the brother of Joab, he said, "Shall not this man die who cursed the Lord's anointed?" But David said, "There will no one die, for I know this day," he says, "that I am king over Israel." Oh, David, then, he forgave this man and sweared unto him that he would not die. And then we find that this Mephibosheth, this man who ate at David's table, he likewise came to him when he was in Jerusalem. This man, Mephibosheth, he had been slandered by Ziba. Ziba had said unto David that this man, Mephibosheth, looked forward to be ruler over Israel, because he said that this day I know that my father's house will be restored to reign over Israel. And now this was not true. He had taken the ass that Mephibosheth had commanded that he wanted to take so that he could go with David. Ziba had taken it himself. And he slandered this man to David in this way. Instead of being a friend, he was an enemy in this way unto Mephibosheth. And now David, when he met him, he said unto him, "How come, Mephibosheth, where you are a member of the family, that you didn't go with me when I went out of Jerusalem?" And then we find him making an honest confession unto David. He had remained in Jerusalem. He had not trimmed his beard. He had not changed his clothes. He had not washed his feet. He was in a state of mourning because the king was gone. And now when he came back, he went back to him immediately. And then he complained to David about Ziba. And now David, he should have restored all what was Mephibosheth's back to him. But we find that he did not. Ziba had received this off David when he went to him with the ass, and when he went to him with the fruits and the bottle of wine. But now, when he found that this Ziba had slandered Mephibosheth, he should have done justly. But he said, "Divide it between the two of yous." But Mephibosheth says, "No, let Ziba have it all," he says. For he says, "Me and my father's house were all dead men," he says. "But you," he says, "took me and brought me to the city of Jerusalem and let me eat at thy table." Oh, he was so humble, this man, Mephibosheth. Oh, he likewise was in a good frame of soul, for he could leave Ziba have everything as long as he could be with the king. There is a spiritual meaning in this, my hearers, but my time is gone. It's 5 minutes past 3 o'clock. The Lord willing, we will pick up the subject again next week from this point. That's all for today.